Тобто
кранчина кранчина кранчина
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Text 49, commentaries. I'll start with Vishnu Chakravarti. Bhakti Vinod. I'll start with Bhakti Vinod. Buddhi Jog, Arthat, Nishkama Karma Jog, Dara, Bhakti Ranashilan Karata, Kamya Karma Durka. You engage in the practice of Bhakti through Nishkama Karma Yoga, which is the same as Buddhi Yoga. And in that, by doing that, you get rid of Kamya Karma. Kamya Karma is optional varying activities. Close this there. It's cold. Jahara Phalakangshi Tahara Kribon. That's why Buddhi Yoga ke ashray ko. You don't have to lock it. Upananda Guru. Those who hanker for the karma phalas, they are all misers. Therefore, just take shelter of Buddhi Yoga. Vishnu Chakravarti says, Sakama Karma Nindati. He criticizes Sakama Karma with this verse. Dureneti. Avaram. Abominable means Atinikrishtam. Extremely low class. Kamyam Karma. It's Kamya Karma. Buddhi Yogat. By the practice of Buddhi Yoga, that means Parameshwara Arpita Nishkama Karma Yoga. By engaging in Nishkama Karma Yoga and offering it to the Supreme Personality of God, that means doing it for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of God. Buddhau Nishkama Karmanyeva Buddhi Yogo Nishkama Karma Yoga. You do it with such intelligence, that means you do it with putting your mind into Nishkama Karma. Engage in these activities simply for the satisfaction of the Lord. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has commented on text 51 regarding the last line, Janma Bandha Nirmukta Padam Gacchanti Namayam. That is text 51. They attain that place which is free from any misery, free from all miseries. And he comments, Atev Anamay Pad Je Bhaktadigar Charam Avastha Taha Lab Kure. They attain the final destination of the Bhaktas, which is the place free from all miseries. Yeah.
At what place you say those who are entering for karma phala are misers?
Yeah.
Generally we say misers when people are not willing to give away something. So what is it that they
are? We'll come to that. Baladeva Vidyabhushan Ruhu explains this part. We'll come to that. Why they are called misers.
I thought that maybe they are greedy, but
they're misers. Baladeva Vidyabhushan Ruhu will explain how they are misers. Yadate moha kalidam buddhir vyaditarishyati tadaganta sinirvedam shottavyasya shutasyacha. So here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that in the status of samadhi, this is obviously a description of samadhi, which we will study later for the next section onwards. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said that when one enters into this position, then Dakhantumi Shrotabha O Shruti Samastha Shastra Hoyte Nirapekha Hoya Vishuddha Bhakti Sadhane Pravritta Hoybe. You will get out of all the scriptures which talk to you about the karma phalas. They tell those which are meant to be heard, or those which you have already heard. You will become indifferent to all of them, and you will be fixed up in the sadhana of pure bhakti, vishuddha bhakti sadhana. So you will enter into that point, into that position. That is the same as what we are studying, Kevala Bhakti. Kevala Bhakti. Evam Parameshwara Pita Nishkama Karma Abhyasat Tava Yogaha Bhavishyati. So by engaging in Nishkama Karma, by the practice of Nishkama Karma for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you will attain Yoga. Tava Buddhir Antahkaranam Mohakalinam Moharupam Ganam Visheshato Atishayena Darishyati. And your intelligence, which refers to this mind, subtle body, it will cross over the dense forest of delusion completely. Tada shrotavyasya shrotavyeshu artheshu shrutasya shrutepyartheshu nirvedam prapsyasi. All that is to be heard means all the objects which the Vedas are talking about, which you are supposed to hear. For materialistic people, the Vedas talk about karma phalas. So they are the ones which are meant to be heard. Shrutasya. And those which you might have already heard. Nirvedam prapsyasi. You'll become indifferent to them. Asam bhavana viparita bhavana yor nashtatvat. Kim me shastra upadesha vakya shravanena sampratam me sadhaneshveva pratikshanam abhyasa sarvatha uchitaha iti mamsyase. What is the point of me going on hearing all these statements from the scriptures about karma phalas? Because my now I should simply enter into sadhana. Sampratam me sadhaneshveva pratikshanam abhyasa sarvata uchita. From every point of view, I should simply, every moment, use it in my sadhana. You will think like this. Why you will think like this? Because you will not have two problems. One problem is asambhavana bhava. The idea that spiritual elevation is impossible. That will be destroyed by this practice itself. That idea that spiritual perfection is an impossibility, that will be destroyed. The other problem is viparita bhavana. You will not accept opposing conceptions of spirituality. That will also be destroyed. If you simply engage in this practice and by the potency of bhakti inside bhakti mishra nishkama karma, it will be destroyed. That is the idea. Shruti viparita pannate yadasthasyati nishchala samadha vachala buddhistada yogama vapsyasi. Bhaktivinoda says, Tokhon sahaja samadhi te achala haiya vishuddha bhakti jo lab koribe. You will attain natural, spontaneous samadhi. Natural samadhi, which is to be contrasted with the samadhi of the Ashtanga yogis. Attainment of love of Krishna is sahaja samadhi. It is natural to the soul. It is swabhava gata samadhi. That is what Bhaktivinoda points out with sahaja samadhi. And when your mind is fixed in that, then you will attain vishuddha bhakti yoga, pure bhakti yoga, kevala bhakti. Tatascha shrutishu nana laukika vaidikartha shravaneshu vipratipanna asammata virakte iti yavat. Chakravarti says that at that point, you will become detached, renounced from various ordinary worldly objects. And the objects that are presented as karma phalas through the Shruti. So you will not be able to accept them. You will disapprove of them. Tatra hetu, because what is the reason? Nishchala teshu teshu artheshu chalitum mukhi bhute iti artha. Because your mind has become fixed, therefore it has become averse. Kintu samadho shashte dhyaye vakshamana vakshane achala sthairyavati. And in samadhi, your mind will be fixed in samadhi. Krishna Chakrabarti explains that this refers to what Krishna will speak in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. When he has come to the point of Bhakti Mishra Yoga and moves into Yoga Mishra Bhakti and Kevala Bhakti. So keep in mind, Vishnu Chakravarti is talking about the indirect process of moving from Bhakti Mishra Nishkama Karma to Bhakti Mishra Jnana to Bhakti Mishra Yoga to Yoga Mishra Bhakti to Kevala Bhakti. Whereas Chaitanya Mahaprabhu generally in his preaching he directly presented this process, Bhakti Mishra Nishkama Karma to Nishkama Karma Mishra Bhakti to Kevala Bhakti. This is the process that Bhaktivinoda Thakur also promoted. This is the process that was also presented in the publications of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and the writings of Prabhupada also. And the beginning point and end point are the same, but the pathways are different. One is the pathway of karma, jnana, yoga, bhakti. The other is simply the bhakti path. Only one thing to be increased and taken care of. Tada yogam aparokshanu bhava praptya jivan mukta hityatha. And then you will attain yoga. That means you will attain aparoksha anubhava. You will attain direct perception of the self as being different from the body. In other words, you become a jivan mukta. You become liberated even while you have a material body. Now, Acharya Palakrindakya Bhushan. Bhaktivinoda, the second commentary to the Gita, generally has just repeated the statements he presented in his first commentary. I'm going to read some excerpts. He points out the difference between Nishkama Karma Yoga. When he talks of Nishkama Karma Yoga, he's talking of the indirect pathway. Buddhi Yoga Davaram Karma Durena He Dhananjaya Atma Yathatmya Buddhi Sadhana Bhutat Nishkama Karma Yogat Durena Ati Viprakarshena Avaram Atyapakrishtam Janmam Marana Marana Adi Anarthanimittam Kamyam Karmetyatha. See, Nishkama Karma Yoga is going to lead you to the point of Jnana Yoga, which means Bhakti Mishra Nishkama Karma will lead to Bhakti Mishra Jnana. At the point of Bhakti Mishra Jnana, you will directly perceive the soul. So this process is going to lead you to realization of the soul, spiritual substance. So by engaging in this activity, keep very far away from Kamya Karma. In Kamya Karma, you are entangled by matter. And they lead you to the disaster of continuous birth, death and so on. Because if you are looking for sense enjoyment, whether it is through Vedas or not the Vedas, it's going to bind you to birth and death. Therefore, you engage in a spiritual process. Hi yasma devam atastvam buddhav tad yathatmya jnane nimitte sharanam ashrayam nishkama karma yogam anvichakuru. So you engage in this activity of bhakti mishra nishkama karma. Yetu phalahetavaha phalakama avara karma karinaste kripanaha tat phala janma karma adi pravaha parvashaha dhina ityartha. Whereas these people who are interested in attaining karma phala, they are engaged in this abominable activity, inferior activity. They are misers. They are completely under, they are overwhelmed by the stream of the karma phala, resultant good birth, further pious activity. Again, you get back into karma phala. And you're getting back again and again and again in that Vedic cycle of sense enjoyment. That's like a stream of water, like a waterfall. Well, they're completely overwhelmed by that. Dina haiti artha, very, very low, very fallen. Tathacha tvam kripanaha mabhu iti. So you don't become a miser like them. Iha kripanaha khalu kashta uparjita vitta adrishta sukha lavabuddha. Vittani datum samartha mahata dana sukhena vanchita tatha ಕಷ್ಟಾನುಷ್ಠಿತ ಕರ್ಮಣ ತತ್ ತುಚ್ಛ ತತ್ ಫಲಲುಬ್ಧ ಮಹತಾತ್ಮಸುಖೇನ ವಂಚಿತ ಭವಂತಿ ಇತಿ ವ್ಯಜ್ಯತೆ. He gives an explanation why this word kripana is used, miser. And he explains, the misers, they work very hard and they gather some wealth. They are very greedy for their wealth which they have acquired. But they only have a small amount of happiness. And therefore, they are unable to give that wealth in charity. And they are unable to experience the great happiness of charity. They are deceiving themselves of the great happiness of charity. Because if you engage in charity, then you attain much greater fruit. The Vedas, they very often talk about the great happiness of charity. Because that's going to yield very high fruit. If you give in charity to appropriate recipients of charity, then in your next life, you'll be born in an extremely rich environment. So the happiness that comes out of charity is great. It's a lot. So they're deceiving themselves of this great happiness. Tatha, similarly, with great difficulty you are performing Vedic karma. But you are greedy after these insignificant fruits. Those very same activities can be used to attain the great happiness of self-realization. So just like you work very hard and you earn a lot of money, if you give that in charity, how much more greater potential, happiness potential you have. You are giving it up and instead of it, you are finding some insignificant happiness and storing that money and not giving it in charity, simply expending that money. So like that, with great difficulty you are performing prescribed duties. Vedic prescribed duties are difficult. They are kashtasadhya, they are difficult to do. They are not easy to do. Modern activities or sinful activities are very easy to do. You just be yourself and you are immediately doing sinful activity automatically. But Vedic activities are difficult. Prescribed duties are difficult. Varnashrama dharma is difficult. But so with great difficulty you are doing, engaging in the activities of Varnashrama dharma. For what? For attaining karma phala. Instead of trying to attain the happiness of the self, you are engaging in this, so such insignificant. So you are deceiving yourselves of the great excessive happiness of realizing the self as being different from the body. Iti vyajyate. This is suggested here. This is revealed here. It's not suggested, it's revealed here. See how he writes. He is very alert. He has read his predecessor Acharya's books very thoroughly. And you will see later on. Madhvacharya gives a comment on text 50. And Baladeva Vidyabhushan's comment takes note of that. He doesn't repeat that, but he takes note of all the statements that are made. You'll understand what exactly I mean when you come to Madhva's comment. ಇಹ ಕರ್ಮಸು ಬುದ್ಧಿಯುಕ್ತ ಪ್ರಧಾನ ಫಲತ್ಯಾಗ ವಿಷಯಾನುಷಂಗ ಫಲಸಿದ್ಧ ಸಿದ್ಧಿ ಸಮತ್ವ ವಿಷಯ ಚ ಬುದ್ಧಿಯಾ ಯುಕ್ತ ತಾನಿ ಕರೋತಿ. ಸೊ ವೈ ಎಂಗೇಜಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ದೀಸ್ ಆಕ್ಟಿವಿಟೀಸ್ ವಿತ್ ವ್ಯವಸಾಯಾತ್ಮಕ ಬುದ್ಧಿ, ದಟ್ಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಬುದ್ಧಿಯೋಗ. ಬುದ್ಧಿಯೋಗ ಇಸ್ ನಿಷ್ಕಾಮ ಕರ್ಮಯೋಗ ವಿತ್ ವ್ಯವಸಾಯಾತ್ಮಕ ಬುದ್ಧಿ. ಸೊ ವೆನ್ ಯು ಡೂ ದ್ಯಾಟ್, ದೆನ್ you are giving up the primary fruit. The primary fruit is the immediate fruit, the karma phalas. You are giving that up in the form of material happiness, material unhappiness and so on. Saha ubhe anadikala sanchite jnana pratibandhake sukrata duskrate jahati vinashayati ityata. He rids himself of the fruits of pious reactions and sinful reactions which have been accumulated since time immemorial, from beginningless time, and which are obstructions to his spiritual progress. So he gets rid of sinful reactions and pious reactions. Whatever activity I do today, it's gone into my credit, karmic credit, a certain reaction. If it is in line with the Vedas, then I will get it in the form of pious reaction. Pious reaction means there is some cause for material happiness, good health, beauty, birth in an educated family, in a rich family, so on and so forth. These are all punya phalas, fruit of piety. Misery is papa phala, is coming from sinful activities. So both of these reactions we are all subjected to our bodies and minds are subjected to these reactions, which are coming like a stream since beginningless time from our past activities. So they're all coming. But one who's taken up to spirituality, he gets rid of these pious and sinful reactions. Pious reactions and sinful reactions. Pious reactions are happiness, material happiness. Sinful reactions are material distress. So he gets rid of them, which are obstacles to his spiritual progress. If they are not obstacles to his spiritual progress, then Krishna keeps them. Tasmaduktaya buddhi yogaya yujyasva tvam ghatasva yasmat karma yogaha tadrasha buddhi sambandha. Kaushalam chaturyam bandhakanameva buddhi samparkat vishodita vishaparadhan nyayena mochakatvena parinama. He gives an example. He says just like normally, if you take a poison called Parada Visha, a poison of quicksilver, then you die. But if you purify that poison, then it becomes Ayurvedic medicine and it can save you from death. There are statements like this. Mercury. So mercury is poison. But if you purify it through certain Ayurvedic process, then it becomes medicine, it saves you from death. So the very same activities which bind you, karma, Vedic karma, is also going to bind you to this world now, if you engage them in a certain way. But if you mix it with devotion service and you aim at attaining Kevala Bhakti through the direct process or the indirect process, those very same material activities, they lose their poisonous effect. It's like mercury. Karmajam buddhi yuktahi palam tyaktva manishina jannabanta vinirmuktah padam gacchan tinamayam. They attain the place of misery. Bhakti Vinod says the place of misery is the goal of the bhaktas. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan says, karmanyanatishtanto manishinah karmantargatatma yathatmya pragyavantah bhutva. These very same personalities, from within, these karma, they produce self-realization within. The whole idea is you don't have to give up these activities, go to a forest and then realize the self and then realize Lord Vishnu. You don't have to do that. While engaging in the system, from within you get it. From within. Anamayam, klesha shunyam, padam, vaikuntham gacchanti. And they attain the place of anamaya, the place without disease, literally. Which means the place without any material miseries, klesha. Which refers to vaikuntha. Tasmat tvamapi shreyo jigyasu revam vidhani karmani kuru iti bhava. So you've been asking me about what is actually beneficial. This is what is beneficial. Perform your prescribed duties along with devotion service with a certain attitude, aiming at pure devotion service. And if you do like this, then you will be able to move towards Vaikuntha. Now here he says, it's an important remark for people who are moving in the indirect pathway. Swatma jnanasya paramatma jnana hetutva tasya api tat pada gati hetutvam yuktam. Now the question may be asked, how by merely realizing the self as being different from the body, that qualifies you to attain the spiritual world? It is well known from the scriptures that until one realizes the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you cannot attain the spiritual world. If I simply realize I am not this body, that does not qualify me to attain the spiritual world. Why does Krishna speak like this here? Krishna is saying that if you engage in these prescribed activities in a certain way, then you will go to the spiritual world. How can he say that? Because if you engage in prescribed activities in this way, you only realize you are different from the body, which is Atmanubhava. It is not Paramatmanubhava. So he explains that from Swa-Atma-Anubhava, by realizing his own self, that is the first step. That, and if you engage in further spiritual activities, then you can come to the point of realizing the Supreme Lord as being different from the self also, as being the master of the self. Then you engage in devotion service to him. So step by step, you engage in these activities, and then finally when you come to the point of pure devotion service to the Supreme Lord, then you are qualified to attain Vaikuntha. So step by step you are qualified. So because realization of the self can be preliminary to realization of the Supreme Lord, therefore this is said to be the means. So it is appropriately stated. Then Acharya Baladev, he asked this question regarding the next text, text 52. Nanu nishkamani karmani kurvataha me khatatma vishaya manishi manisha abhyudiyad iti chet. So at what point will I be able to realize myself as being different from the body? When will this come? So then Krishna speaks the verse yadate moha kalilam, text 52, that when your mind gets out of this darkness of ignorance, which is the cause for your hankering after this insignificant karma phalas, at that time you will attain this, you will attain renunciation from these insignificant fruits, which are stated in the Shruti. Yadate buddhir antahkaranam mohakalilam tukchakpala vilasha hetum vajjana ghanam yati tarishyati parityakshati tyartha tada purvam shrutasya anantaram shrotavyasya cha tasya tat tasya tukchapalasya sambandhinam nirvedam gantasi gamishyasi parikshalokan karmachitan brahmano nirvedamaya iti shravana. As stated in the Shruti, that a learned brahmana, he examines all the planetary systems or destinations which can be attained through Vedic prescribed material duties, and he examines each one of them, and then he attains renunciation from them, because he understands nastya krita kritena, you cannot attain something spiritual by something material, and therefore he goes to a spiritual master who is fixed in the Supreme Personality of God, and then he surrenders to him. Tasmad Guru Prapadyet. Then he surrenders to the spiritual master. So Guru Meva Abhigachi Savatpani Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam Nirvedena Palena Tad Vishayam Tam Paricheshyati Iti Nastiyatra Kalanyamam. So there is no regulation about at what time, how much time it takes for self-realization. It is not a question of time, it is a question of your endeavor and when you are coming up to that point. In other words, if you consider this to be a sort of educational training, this is not a time-bound educational training, it is self-paced. So you move at your speed, you decide to move at your speed. Shruti vipratipannate yada sthasyati nishchala samadha vachala buddhis tada yogam avapsyasi. 53. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains nicely. Je samaye tomar buddhi veder nana prakar arthavad dara ar vichalita vaivena tokhon vedartha vinishchita samadite achala huiya vishuddha jog arthat nishkam karma shuddha gyan o bhagavat bhakti etat traye sanjojak रूप बुद्धि जो लाभ करीबे. So when your mind is not distracted, when your intelligence is not distracted by the various arthavadas presented in the Vedas. Arthavada refers to statements of advertisement. That if you engage in this activity, you go to heavenly planets, and there's a lot of glorification of the karma phalas. So when your mind is not disturbed by these arthavadas presented in the Vedas, rather your mind is fixed in, firmly fixed in samadhi, which has been determined to be the actual intent of the Vedas. At that point, you move from nishkama karma to pure shuddha jnana and to bhagavad bhakti, kevala bhakti. And you engage in buddhi yoga, which connects you one by one to all of them. Here, Baladeva Vidya Bhushan, he says, yada samadho manasi nirvata deepa shikha iva nishchalastasyati tada yogam atmanam bhavalakshanam avapsyasi. When your mind is fixed on realizing the self, just like if you take a lamp, and the flame of that lamp is unshaken. If you put it in an environment where there is no wind, so like that, when your mind is fixed on the self, you're fixed in the spiritual path, and it doesn't even shake, then you understand that to be the point when you will realize the self as being different from the body. Ayamartha phala vilasha shunya tayanushtitani karmani sita pragyata rupam gyananishtham sadayanti gyananishtha rupa sita pragyata tu atmanubhavam iti. The idea is, if you engage in Vedic prescribed duties and you have no hankering for any of the karma phalas, for those karmas which you are doing, then that leads you to the point called sthita pragyata, the point of being a sthita pragya, which is bhakti mishra jnana. From that point, you are able to move towards realization of the self as being different from the body. This is self realization has two phases. If you go by the indirect pathway, if you go by the direct pathway, there's only one phase. Now, Madhvacharya has commented. He's given an extensive commentary. I will read some excerpts. His comments are important because Prabhupada's purport to this next section is more in the line of Madhva. You can see how he translates differently. Interesting. And you should keep in mind, Madhvacharya, he appeared just like Prabhupada went to America and he preached against the American way of life, of sinful activities. Similarly, Madhvacharya, he entered into the Mayavadi camp and he preached against Mayavad and their interpretations of, their varied interpretations of Bhagavad Gita and Vedanta Sutra, etc. If you look at his comment to text 50, buddhi yukto jahati ha ubhe sukrut duskrute tasmad yoga yujisva yoga karmasu kaushalam. He says, he makes this point, jnana phalamaha. Now he is speaking about the fruit of spiritual knowledge. By spiritual knowledge, he means knowledge that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Lord Vishnu and the living entities are his eternal servants, and the relationship is one of servitude. This is called jnana in Madhva's terminology. So the fruit of such knowledge is stated in this verse. And he says, sukratam api apriyam manushyati jahati na brihat phalam api upasanadi nimittam. When Krishna says he gets rid of the fruit of pious activities and the fruit of impious activities, Madhvacharya, he promotes the Vedas. So he talks about dharma. He is basically talking about two activities, dharma and adharma. And dharma includes everything. In the Gaudiya Vaishnava line, we have analyzed dharma very deeply and we have brought out very clearly the difference between Bhagavata dharma and Varnashrama dharma. But Madhvacharya keeps it somewhat vague, keeps it a little bit vague. And he simply says, you engage in, you give up adharma and you engage in dharma. Because his point is, stop doing adharma. Come to the dharma plane. And once he comes to dharma, then he explains also that you must do dharma along with devotion service to Lord Vishnu, and when you engage in other aspects of dharma, you should engage them in such a way that they are compatible with spiritual progress and so on. So that is there. But he is very concerned with this statement, with the misunderstanding that can arise from this statement, that he gives up reactions to pious activities. Because he counts devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the highest pious activity. It is correct. It is considered to be Paramadharma in Bhagavatam also. This is considered the highest Vedic Dharma, to engage in devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So it is included sometimes within the Dharma category. So when Madhva comes across statements that the transcendentalist, he is indifferent to the reactions of sinful activities and he's also indifferent to the reactions of pious activities, immediately points out, look, he gives up the reactions to pious activities which are undesirable for him. Not that he gives up all reactions to pious activities. And he explains, just as he likes very much the fruit, the great fruit that comes from worship of the Supreme Lord. Worship of the Supreme Lord is the highest Vedic Dharma. So it is also Dharma. It is also pious. So he is very concerned that when people think that I should reject all pious reactions, they should not reject devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So that is an exception. And he points that out. And then he says, Ataha karma kshaya shrutir agyani vishaya sarvatra. Everywhere in the Vedas, when they talk that reactions to pious activities are perishable, they are all with reference to people who are not engaging in spiritual progress. For them, yes, it is happening. That type of, because those pious reactions, they are certainly perishable. But the fruit or reactions that come from engaging in devotional service to the Supreme Lord and so on, they are not perishable. Ubhaya kshaya shruti rapya anishta vishaya. And sometimes they tell you that pious reactions and sinful reactions, both of them are perishable. But he explains, when you hear about that, you should understand that these are talking about undesirable pious reactions, not desirable pious reactions. Nahi ishta punya kshaya kinchit prayojanam. What is the use of the desirable pious reactions being perishable? Nacha ishtan nashaha jnani nahi yuktaha. And for a person who is spiritually progressing, it is not appropriate to say that the desirable fruits of his activities are going to be destroyed. And he says, ishtascha kechit vishayaha. There are certain fruits which are certainly desirable. They're certainly desirable. And then he quotes from the scriptures. He quotes from certain scriptures. And then he says that that in the status of liberation, Shukadeva Goswami and others, they perceive the Supreme Lord as being different from them. That is one of the fruit of devotion service. Devotion service leads to further devotion service on the liberated plane, where you perceive a difference between yourself and the Supreme Lord. These are all desirable. This is not undesirable. And he also points out from the Vedanta Sutra that even a liberated soul, he cannot create, maintain and dissolve the universe and so on. So from this also we understand that he does not impersonally merge into the absolute truth at the status of liberation. And then he explains that point in further detail. I'll skip on that. And then he points out, for instance, attaining a spiritual body in the spiritual world, that is not undesirable. It is desirable. But having a spiritual form in the spiritual world at the point of final liberation. Because vailakshanya tat charirana, because those bodies are very different from these bodies. Abhautikani hitani nitya upadhi nirmitani ishvara shaktya. These are all non-material bodies. Tathachauktam shariram jayate tesham shodashya klayayivattu ityadi narayana kalpe. The scripture narayana kalpa tells you that the liberated soul manifests a spiritual body. They manifest spiritual bodies which are entirely made up of spiritual energies, 16 spiritual energies. And whenever you hear that on the spiritual plane that you have no body, there are many scriptural statements which say they appear to say you have no body, no distress, no happiness, and so on. So he tackles that. Vadanti cha laukika vailakshanye abhava shabdam. If something is very fundamentally different from what is perceived in this world, then it is said to not exist there. Aparaharsham, ananandam, sukadukha bahya ityadishu. For instance, there are statements in the Upanishads that there is no happiness at all in the liberated plane. So we can't take it literally. Even the Mayavadis accept that is, I mean, it is happiness. Whatever they define to be happiness, there is something called happiness. Though they may not agree with the Vaishnavas on what type of happiness it is, and our concept of happiness and our experience of happiness is different from their concept and experience of their perceived experience of happiness. But they also accept sukadukha bahya ityadishu. There are statements that the liberated souls, they experience happiness which are completely external to the happiness and distress. That means happiness and distress of this world. That's what it means. Then he says, nirukti abhavacha natani sharirani. And apart from that, they are not sharira in the etymological sense of the term. Sharira means a body which decays, which deteriorates. Tatahi shrutihi. Ashariting tacharirama bhavat iti. Nahitani shirirani bhavanti. They don't become decayed. They don't deteriorate. Sargepino pajayante pralena vyatantiche ityadi vachana. Because there are statements that at the plane of liberation, these bodies, they don't decay. So we understand that there are bodies. Now, these bodies, they're all desirable. They're not undesirable. So when Krishna says he gets rid of pious reactions, these are all exceptions. Spiritual attainments are not... He doesn't get rid of spiritual attainment also. Now the Mayavadis, they come up and say, no, but this is an intermediate liberation in the mode of goodness. This is not final liberation. That's what the Advaitavadins, they say. That, oh, this statement that you attain spiritual body, you know, this is all bodies in the material mode of goodness. This is not spiritual. So this is some sort of liberation, a metaphorical liberation, a secondary liberation. It's not final liberation. Nachaisha anya gauni muktihi. He says, no, this is not the other type of liberation, material liberation. Bahunatra ki muktena yavat shvetam nagachati yogi tavanna muktasyat esha shastrasya nirnaya iti aditya purane tad anya mukti nisheda. Because it is stated in Aditya Purana that here comes a statement. That's a description of the attainment of souls in Shvetadvip. Shvetadvip is Vaikuntha. It is Vaikuntha. There is one Shvetadvip in the material world also. It is Vaikuntha inside the material world. So one of the Vaikuntha is called Shvetadvip. Spiritual world also there is Shvetadvip. So there is a statement. Aditya Purana. What is the use of speaking so much about this subject matter? As long as one does not go to Shvetadvip, the yogi is not liberated. This is the final conclusion of the scriptures. So he points out that this is the meaning of of liberation. Liberation means you actually go to the spiritual world. Sayujyam cha grahavat. And there are so many statements about Sayujya. You merge into the Lord. So Madhvacharya, he does not like this idea of merging into the Lord and all that. So he says grahavat. It is like a planet. For instance, Baladeva Vidyabhushan in his commentary to Laghu Bhagavatamrita has stated that he quotes from certain Upanishadic statements that one who engages in pious activities, he attains Sayujya with the moon. Sayujya with the moon does not mean he goes and merges into the moon demigod or merges into the moon planet. It means he goes to the moon planet and lives happily there. Sayujya means Sahayoga. That is one of the meanings of the word Sayujya. So, Madhva is speaking along those lines. That Sayujya is like a planet, attaining a planet. So when you attain that planet of the Supreme Lord, then you are said to have attained Sayujya. Bhunjate purusham prapya yatha deva grahadaya tatha mukta uttamayam vahyan bhogamstu bhunjate iti Narayana Ashtakshara Kalpe. This example is given of the planet in Narayana Ashtakshara Kalpa. Ataha anishtasyaiva viyogaha. And therefore, we should understand that a liberated soul is freed only from undesirable pious reactions. And obviously, sinful reactions are undesirable. So, he is only freed from undesirable reactions. Saha asti eva sarvatmana. And in every sense and in every way that happens. Adukham sarvadukha vivarjitaha ashokam ahimam yatra gatva nashochati ityadibhya. So many statements. There is no distress. Absolutely free from all different varieties of distress. His glory, the liberated soul's glory, is filled with ashoka, non-lamentation. Anyone who goes to the spiritual world, he does not lament there at all. Na moksha sadrisham kinchit adhikam va sukham kwachit rite vaishnavam anandam vangmano gocharam mahat ityadescha brahmadi padadapya adhika tamam sukham cha moksha iti siddham. So it is very clearly established that there is nothing higher, no happiness higher than liberation, and there is no happiness other than in the association of Lord Vishnu, which is beyond speech, mind, and it is great. Then regarding text 52, again he makes an important point here. See, the text 52 has been screwed up by the Mayavadi, Advaitavadi philosophers to mean that you attain a position which is beyond the Veda, because they consider the Veda to be mundane, material. Advaitavadins, they consider the Veda to be within Maya. It is also Maya Kalpita. It is also inside, they consider the Veda to be like a thorn. You use a thorn to remove another thorn and you throw away this thorn. So, Madhvacharya, he is very sensitive to statements that you become indifferent to the Vedas. Immediately he understands what this Mayavadi fellow is thinking. You become indifferent to the Veda. He goes beyond the Veda. He's also thinking about people who like the concept that you can get beyond the Vedic framework. He's thinking about these people. So he comments, Nirvedam means Nitaram Labham. If you look at text 52, you see Nirvedam. 2.52. Tadagantasi Nirvedam Shotavyasya Shutasya Cha. Nirvedam means callousness. He attains callousness towards all that has been heard and all that is to be heard. Translation: you shall become indifferent to all that has been heard and all that is to be heard. the word indifferent appears again in the purport. So it means indifference in a certain context. Indifferent to what? If you look at Prabhupada's commentary, it becomes clear. He becomes indifferent to the rituals of the Veda. Which rituals? The rituals of fruitive activities. So he becomes indifferent to the rituals of fruitive activities described in the Vedas. Prabhupada does not say he becomes indifferent to the process of devotional service taught in the Vedas. So he becomes indifferent to the material teachings of the Vedas. That is how Prabhupada has explained. Baladeva Vidya Bhushan Vishnachakra. Everybody explains like that. But Madhvacharya is very concerned that people might, Mayavadis and other people, they might consider he becomes indifferent to all the Vedas. So he explains Nirvedam. He translates Nirvedam differently. Nirvedam means abundant attainment or the highest fruit or the highest success. So then the shloka will mean when your intelligence has gone out of the dense forest of delusion, then you will attain the highest perfection of all that you have heard and the all that is meant to be heard. You see, it's a different translation. And he gives example for that. Tasmat brahmanaha panditya nirvidya ityadi. For instance, and then a brahmana, having attained scholarship, and a modified form of the word nirveda appears here, nirvidya. Nahi tatra vairagya upapadyate. It is not appropriate to say then one attains renunciation. After all, a brahmana is a scholar. In Vedic culture, every brahmana has to be a scholar. So he cannot become renowned, he cannot renounce his scholarship and be known as a learned vipra. And then he says, Nacha jnaninam bhagavan mahima adi shravane viraktir bhavati. And all learned souls, they never develop renunciation towards hearing the glories of the Supreme Personality of God. So you cannot translate this word as renunciation. If you want to interpret this to mean he attains indifference or renunciation towards all portions of the Vedas and take it with its full literal force, you cannot translate this word as renunciation, because that would entail that any learned soul will become indifferent to hearing the glories of the Supreme Personality of God. So that would be a wrong interpretation. It does not fit with the scriptures. And then he gives a reason by quoting a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which has become extremely famous in the Gaudiya Vaishnava circles. Atma Rama Himunayo Nirgrahya Purukrame Kurvantya Haitukim Bhaktim Ittham Bhuta Guno Harihi Iti Vachanat. This statement is the famous Atma Rama Shloka, first canto, 7th chapter, text number 10. The Atma Rama verse. Lord Chaitanya gave more than 60 different explanations to this shloka. And the shloka simply says, those who are liberated souls, who are beyond material attachments, they also engage in unmotivated, pure devotional service to Lord Urukrama, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such are the qualities, transcendental qualities of Lord Hari. So from this we understand that liberated souls, fully liberated souls, they never develop renunciation towards certain Vedic activities like hearing the glories of the Supreme Personality of God. So therefore Madhva, he says, no. This is, you cannot interpret this to mean they attain renunciation from all portions of Veda. Because Bhagavatam is also inside Veda. Bhagavad Gita is also inside Veda. They are all within Veda. So you have to be very careful when you say renunciation from the Veda. That is why Prabhupada has very clearly said, becomes indifferent to all the rituals of fruitive activities, karma kanda. He is very attached to devotional service, which is taught in bhakti kanda portion of the Veda. Anushthanache shugadinam. And we see that Shukadeva Goswami and others, they are fully liberated souls and they are engaging in activities of devotional service to the Supreme Lord. He speaks the Srimad Bhagavatam for 7 days. Devotional service. He is not renounced. He does not renounce the Bhagavatam. Nacha tesham phalam nasti. It is not that there is no fruit from engaging in devotional service. Tasyeva mahat sukatvatesham. Because by that very same activity they attain great happiness. And then he quotes from Bhagavatam itself. Dhruva Maharaj statement to the Supreme Lord Vasudev. Ya nivritis tanavritam tapapada padma dhyanan bhavad janakatha shavanena vasyat sa brahmani swa mahimanyapi nathan mabhut kim vantika asalulita patatam vimana. My Lord, I don't want anything other than your devotion. So this is a summary of his statement. I don't want anything material. I don't even want some type of liberation which denies me the ability to engage in your devotional service by hearing your topics or your meditation, etc. Tesham api upasana adi phalasya sadhitatvat. And then he points out that there is a gradation within liberation. Within liberation there is a gradation, because some of them they desire liberation. Some of the learned souls, they desire liberation. But there are other souls who don't even desire liberation. They desire only pleasure of the Supreme Lord. Yatha bhakti visheshotra drishyate purushottame tatha mukti visheshopi gyaninam linga bhedane yoginam bhinnalinganam avirbhuta swarupinam praptanam paramanandam taratanyam sadaivahi. There is definitely a gradation after liberation. There is a gradation. Corresponding to the gradation in the devotional service, there is a gradation in liberation. In the Gaudiya Vaishnava line, as explained by Baladeva Vidya Bhushan Prabhu, the gradation is in terms of spiritual relationships with the Supreme Lord. Shantarasa, Dasyarasa, Sakhyarasa, Vatsalyarasa, Madhuryarasa. In terms of spiritual rasas, relationships with the Supreme Lord, there are various gradations of spiritual planets. So in that way we understand Madhvacharya's statements. But there are so many statements that when you attain liberation, you attain equality with the Supreme Lord. There are several statements like that also, that one attains equality with the Supreme Lord. Even here, 14th chapter, text 2, Krishna says, the liberated souls, they attain my nature. They attain my nature, my platform, my position. Like that, there are so many statements. So he points out, Sāmya vachanam tu prachuriya vishayam dukkha abhava vishayam cha. Those statements which talk about equality, they are simply pointing out that predominantly you are like the Lord. In contrast to material existence, spiritual existence is more like the Lord. So there is a lot of similarity with the Lord. We attain a spiritual body. You have a body which decays. There is no force of time which destroys you. And so on. So predominantly it is like that. And the other fact is, there is the similarity of no misery in both the Lord and the liberated soul, and between the liberated souls also. There's also, see, the whole point is there's a gradation at the point of liberation, after liberation also. So the liberated souls are also graded. But nevertheless, predominantly they're all similar. They're all predominantly engaged in the Lord's service. They're all, you know, if you contrast them from material existence, they're all more or less of the same category. And one feature is common to all of them. All of them are free from miseries. So those statements should be understood like that. Tatha cha uktam, as it has been stated, dukkha abhava paranando linga bheda samamata tathapi paramanando jnana bheda tu bhindiyate iti narayana ashtakshara kalpe. So it says that the supreme bliss which is acquired after the subtle body is dissolved, that means at the point of liberation, there is no misery there. Nevertheless, the spiritual bliss, supreme bliss that is experienced by the liberated souls, that is graded corresponding to the gradation of their spiritual realization. Jnanabhedattu vidyate ataha na vairagyam shrutadava vatra vivakshitam. Therefore we understand that here Krishna's intention is not to say that a liberated soul attains renunciation from all the Vedas. Mahadvi Shravaniyasya Shrutasya Cha Vedadeh Palam Prapsasi Ityartha. Rather, you attain the highest fruit of the Vedas which are meant to be heard by exalted souls and which have been heard by exalted souls. See how he translates differently. Taddeva Spashtayati. And he clarifies that very point in the next text. Purvam Shrutivir Vedair Vipratipanna Virutha Sati Yara Vedartha Anukulena Tattu Nishchayena Vibrita Vagbhirapi Nishchala Bhavati Tatascha Samadha Vachala Brahma Pratyaksha Darshanena Bheri Tadanada Vapi Paramananda Magnatvat Tada Yogam Avapsyasi Upaya Siddho Bhavasi Ityartha. So previously your mind might have been confused by various apparently contradictory statements of the Vedas, but then by studying the Vedas under proper guidance, you understand their meaning correctly and your mind is fixed and it is not disturbed by any of these kind of statements. Then you are able to attain, your mind becomes fixed in Samadhi. That means you are able to directly perceive the Supreme Personality of God, Lord Vishnu, and you are not agitated by anything else that is happening. Just as a man he's a musician, he's so completely absorbed in his drumming, he doesn't see anyone come nearby. Even if a king is coming next to him, he doesn't see, because he's so completely absorbed in it. So like that, he's completely absorbed in the Supreme Lord, he's immersed in the supreme bliss of devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So then you have attained the perfection of sadhana. So it doesn't mean like the Mayavadis. The Mayavadis interpret this to mean that he attains impersonal Brahman. He emerges. Therefore there is no agitation. Why there is no agitation? Because there is nothing. There is nothing. So Madhava points out, no, that's not the meaning. The meaning is, he becomes so completely focused and absorbed in this. That is why he's not agitated. Some additional points from Vadiraja. Well, all of these points already covered. Sridhar Swami, some additional points. Here is his comment on text 51 on the words padam gacchante namayam. The last three words of text 51, they attain the place beyond all diseases. Amaya means disease, anamaya. And then he explains anamayam sarva upadrava rahitam Vishnu Padam Mokshakhyam Gacchanti. This is with reference to the second canto of the Bhagavatam. He is also a commentator on the Bhagavatam. Sridhar Swami, famous commentator on the Bhagavatam. So he often sees things in the light of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he explains that this abode, this status refers to the abode of Lord Vishnu, which is free from all disturbances, various upadravas, various disturbances. And this is what is known as liberation. So they attain that. When will I attain that place? Vaikuntha. Kadaham tat padam prapsyami iti apekshayamaha yadeti dvabhya. So with that in mind, Krishna anticipates Arjuna might think like that, and therefore he speaks these two verses. Ayamartha evam Parameshwar Aradhane Kriyamane Yadatat Prasadena Tava Buddhir Deha Vimana Lakshana Mohamayam Gahanam Durgam Visheshena Aditarishyati. तदा श्रोतव्यस्य श्रुतस्य च अर्थस्य निर्वेदं वैराग्यं गन्तासि प्राप्स्यसि तयोर अन उपादेयत्वेन जिज्ञासां करिष्यसि इत्यर्थ। When you are engaged in the worship of the Supreme Lord, then by His mercy, when you are able to get out of the delusion that you are your body, then you will be able to get out of this fortress of Maya and you will attain renunciation from all these karma phalas which are presented in, which you might have heard or which you haven't yet heard. Tayor an upadeyatvena jigyasam karishyasi. So you will understand that they are not useful for your spiritual progress. So it makes it very clear. And text 53, it translates like this. Shrutivir nana laukika vaidika artha shravane vipratipanna itah purvam vikshiptasati tava vikshiptasati tava buddhir yada samadhur sthasyati. When your mind is, when your intelligence is fixed in samadhi, here samadhi means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Samadhiyate chittam asmin niti samadhi parameshwaraha tasmin nishala vishayantarair anakrishta adeva chala abhyasa patavena tatraiva sthira cha sati sthasyati. So when your mind is fixed on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is not attracted to anything other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then by your expertise in your practice, then your mind becomes fixed, your consciousness becomes fixed. Tada yogam yogaphalam tatvajnanam avapsyasi. Then you will attain the fruit of yoga, which is realization of the Supreme Absolute Truth, Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. Nice. Come in. Now, Ravana is also coming. Couple of points. In text 51, he noticed one word, he. Karmajam buddhiyukta hi phalam tyaktva manishinah janmabandha vinirmukta padam gacchanti namayam. He means indeed, or as it is well known. Buddhiyukta hi, certainly, or as it is well known. So he comments on that word, he. Prasiddham etat sarvasu upanishatsu ityartha. The word he, or certainly, or definitely, indeed, indicates that this fact, that if you engage in your prescribed activities like this, you will attain the highest spiritual perfection. That is well known in the Upanishads. This is well known in the Upanishads. He is talking about the indirect pathway. In his comment to text 53, he says, etaduktam bhavati. This is the point that is being made here. Shastra janya atma jnana purvaka karma yoga sita pragyata akhya jnana nishtham apadayati. When you engage in karma yoga, keeping in mind knowledge of the soul as taught in the shastras, then that karma yoga, it brings you to the point of jnana nishtha, the position of jnana, which is also known as tithapragya. That person is known as a person of fixed consciousness. Jnana nishtha rupas tithapragyatatu yogakhyam atmavalokanam sadhayati. And that position, that leads you to realization of the self as different from the body. So that is the point. Keshav Kashmiri, there are one or two points which are note. Okay, here is his explanation text
51. Anamayam. Amayaha maya kariya svabhavaha. Parinama apakshayadi rupaha. Rogaha tadrahitam padam. Anamayam means a place without diseases. Okay. An plus amayam. Amayam means disease. So then he explains what that disease is. The disease is nature which is the effect of maya. That then anything material has a certain nature. And that is of the form of transformation and decay. That is the roga, that is the disease, that is the amaya. Tad rahitam padam. And that in that place there is this problem of transformation, deterioration, these don't exist. And it is not an effect of the illusory potency of the Lord. So that is why it is called anamaya padam, anamayam padam. Upanishad Pratipadyam, which has been established, or the subject matter of the Upanishads, Paravaikunthakyam, which is also known as Paravaikuntha, Sthanam Gacchanti, they attain that place. Tasma Tukchapalam Sukritam Api Anantaphalaya Tyajyam Iti Bhava. Therefore, you, even if it is a pious activity prescribed in the Vedas, you should get rid of this insignificant karma phalas. And you should aim for the unlimited fruit of the spiritual world. And when you attain renunciation from these karma phalas, you will never inquire further about them. Punas tad jigyasam na karishyasi. You will not inquire, oh, what other karmas and karma phalas are there? You won't have such inquiries. Rest of the points are already more or less made. More or less. What's the time now?
10:51.
Good. So then we will come back to this and read some verses. We'll discuss this, the main text. 54. Text 54. Arjuna Vacha. Stita Pragyasya Ka Bhasha Samadhisthasya Keshava. Stita dhih kim prabhasheta kim asita vrajeta kim. Arjuna said, O Krishna, what are the symptoms of one whose consciousness is just merged in transcendence? How does he speak and what is his language? How does he sit and how does he walk? As there are symptoms for each and every man in terms of his particular situation, similarly, one who is Krishna conscious has his particular nature, talking, walking, thinking, feeling, etc. As a rich man has his symptoms by which he is known as a rich man, as a diseased man has symptoms by which he is known as diseased, or as a learned man has his symptoms. So a man in transcendental consciousness of Krishna has specific symptoms in various dealings. One can know his specific symptoms from the Bhagavad Gita. This is a very, very important point. See, there are two types of symptoms or lakshanas. Some are parasamvedya lakshanas. Some are symptoms which are externally perceivable. Those which are perceivable by others. Then there is another type of symptom. Other types of symptoms. Svasamvedya lakshanas. Those which are internally perceivable. Which you yourself can perceive. Just like when you eat, you feel full satisfaction. That is an internally perceivable symptom. You can perceive it. Others cannot perceive it. Others cannot perceive whether you have had enough food or not. When they see you stop eating, then they may think that, okay, you are full. But that is not, you cannot understand, because you may not be fully satisfied, your mind may be disturbed, so you stop eating and you walk off. They may think that you are fully satisfied. So that is Svasamvedya Lakshana. That is a symptom which is internally perceivable. Whereas Parasamvedya Lakshanas are symptoms which can be perceived by others, externally perceivable symptoms. So Prabhupada is making a very important point here. Each and every man has certain symptoms which are externally perceivable. So one who is Krishna conscious, who has reached the highest plane of Krishna consciousness, he's become a sthitapragya in the highest sense, who has both realized the self and God. So that person also has externally perceivable symptoms, like Prabhupada. That is very clear. That Prabhupada is talking of externally perceivable symptoms is very clear from the examples. As a rich man has symptoms by which he is known as a rich man. If a rich man exhibits certain externally perceivable symptoms by which he is known as rich, then he is known as a rich man. If he dresses like a poor beggar in the street and he has the $10 million in his bank account, he is not known as a rich man. So he is known as a rich man because of his externally perceivable symptoms. As a diseased man has a symptoms by which he is known as diseased. A diseased man has certain externally perceivable symptoms by which he is known as diseased. Or as a learned man has his symptoms. If he is learned, when he starts speaking, immediately you understand he is learned. He is a scholar. Because he is talking like that, immediately he erupts scholarly content. It just comes out of his mouth. Similarly, a rich man, he is known. These are all externally perceivable symptoms. So a man in transcendental consciousness of Krishna has specific symptoms in various dealings. So, the word so indicates that this is also, these symptoms are also externally perceivable symptoms. He's not talking of internally perceivable symptoms. One can know his specific symptoms from the Bhagavad Gita. Most important is how the man in Krishna consciousness speaks. For speech is the most important quality of any man. It is said that a fool is undiscovered as long as he does not speak. And certainly, a well-dressed fool cannot be identified unless he speaks. But as soon as he speaks, he reveals himself at once. So therefore, Arjuna asks, Sitadhi kim prabhasheta? What does he speak? How does he speak like? Kim asita vrajeta kim? Kim asita? How does he function? How does he remain? How is he situated? Vrajeta kim? How does he walk? How does he interact with others? So the first thing is, how does he speak? The immediate symptom of a Krishna conscious man is that he speaks only of Krishna and of matters relating to him. Here, speech includes all forms of communication. It is not that when he sits on a Vyasasana and he speaks some big high funda philosophy, some big thing he speaks, and then when he is outside of Vyasasana, he talks all kinds of crap, and you understand that his mind is filled with lust, greed, anger, pride, envy, illusion. No, that you understand. Speech indicates not just formally designed speech in some course or in a class. This is what he is in reality, from a spontaneous speech. It also, speech or communication is an index of the mind. So, what he writes, what he speaks, what kind of emails he writes, all of these things are indices to his consciousness. So speech includes all forms of communication. The immediate symptom of a Krishna conscious man is that he speaks only of Krishna and of matters relating to him. Vaishnavas talk only about, pure Vaishnavas only talk about the Supreme Lord Krishna and his service. They are not interested in anything else. Just like when a woman is very much in love with her husband, she is very much attached to her husband, then she will only talk about him. Directly or indirectly connected to him. It will always be about him. So like that. A pure Vaishnava will only talk about Vishnu and of matters relating to his service. Vishnu indicates Vishnu Tattva. A Krishna conscious man speaks about Krishna. Other symptoms then automatically follow as stated below. So other symptoms, they will also automatically follow. You can understand the other symptoms as stated below, as stated the later portions. You'll find. From here till the end of this chapter, Krishna is going to answer these questions. So they'll keep following one after another. They'll keep following. 55. Sri Bhagavan Vacha. Prajahati yada kaman sarvan partha manogatan atmanye vatmanatushta stita pragyasta docchate. The Supreme Personality of God had said, O Partha, when a man gives up all varieties of desire for sense gratification, which arise from mental concoction, and when his mind thus purified, finds satisfaction in the self alone, then he is said to be in pure transcendental consciousness. The Bhagavatam affirms that any person who is fully in Krishna consciousness or devotional service of the Lord has all the good qualities of the great sages, whereas a person who is not so transcendently situated has no good qualifications because he is sure to be taking refuge in his own mental concoctions. This shloka has already appeared in a purport in the first chapter. I'll tell you where it has appeared. It has appeared chapter 1, text 28, purport. This is the verse that Prabhupada is referring to. Chapter 1, text 28, purport. Yasya asti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sarvair gunaistatra samasate surah harava bhaktasya kuto mahadguna manorathena satidhavato bhadi. One who has unflinching devotion for the personality of Godhead has all the good qualities of the demigods, but one who is not a devotee of the Lord has only material qualifications that are of little value. This is because he is hovering on the mental plane and is certain to be attracted by the glaring material energy. So he is taking refuge in his own mental concoctions. Anyone who is not a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of God, to various degrees, is taking shelter in desires coming from his mind. And therefore, Krishna says that a pure devotee, sthitaprajna, he gives up all desires which arise from the mind. He does not give up desires coming from the soul. He gives up desires coming from the mind. Because desires for sense gratification come from the mind. Consequently, it is rightly said herein that one has to give up all kinds of sense desire manufactured by mental concoction. Artificially, such sense desires cannot be stopped. But if one is engaged in Krishna consciousness, then automatically sense desires subside without extraneous efforts. So this is Prabhupada's and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's whole program. How we can be fully absorbed in Mukhya Bhakti Yoga. How we can be fully absorbed in the primary limbs of devotional service. If we do that, then sense desires subside without extraneous efforts. You don't need to do anything other than Krishna consciousness. Direct devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmani, Vedanam. So notice that this shloka is the definition, or these are defining the characteristics of a liberated soul. But these very same verses can also be interpreted to be containing a list of do's and don'ts for sadhakas by which we can come to that plane. So the symptom is of a liberated soul is he has given up all varieties of desire for sense gratification which arise from the mind. But the lesson for the conditioned soul who is aspiring to come to that plane is, you don't take shelter of your sense desires coming from your mind. And therefore Prabhupada says here, one has to give up all kinds of sense desire manufactured by mental concoction. This is an instruction for an aspiring liberated soul. So simultaneously Krishna is speaking in this way. While he is talking about the symptoms of a liberated soul, is also giving a hint to aspiring liberated souls. You must not do these things which liberated soul does not do. You must do the things which a liberated soul does. So what comes out as spontaneous activity or spontaneous characteristic of a liberated soul comes out in the form of a list of duties for aspiring liberated souls. We will see that. The acharyas will talk about them. But if one is engaged in Krishna consciousness, then automatically Sense desires subside without extraneous efforts. Therefore, one has to engage himself in Krishna consciousness without hesitation. Without hesitation, Krishna is telling us, without hesitation, just do this. Just increase mukhya bhakti. Just increase that. Just engage yourself in that. Don't hesitate. For this devotion service will instantly help one onto the platform of transcendental consciousness. The highly developed soul always remains satisfied in himself by realizing himself as the eternal servitor of the Supreme Lord. Atmanyeva atmana tushtaha. His mind is fully purified and finds satisfaction in the self alone. What is the self? The self is an eternal servant of Krishna. So he is very happy that he is an eternal servant of Krishna. He is very happy about it. So this is the second phase of self-realization. The first phase of self-realization is realizing that you are different from the body. The second phase of realization is, the first phase is you realize you are different from the body, you are superior to the body. The second phase of self-realization is you realize that the Supreme Lord is superior to you and he is meant to be served. And you are very happy with that relationship of being a servitor of the one who is meant to be served. That there are two levels or phases of self-realization is clear from Prabhupada's purport to chapter 3, text 41. Look at his purport to chapter 3, text 41. If you look at Prabhupada's purport to chapter 3, text 41, then you'll see the context of this verse is lust. Lust destroys the urge for self-realization and specific knowledge of the self. So there are two, see, both of them are two levels of self-realization. Self-realization is called jnana in this verse, and vijnana refers to the relationship of the spirit soul to the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada writes, now both of them are within the category of self-realization. Jnana refers to knowledge of self as distinguished from non-self, or in other words, knowledge that the spirit soul is not the body. So this is the first phase of self-realization for those who are adopting the indirect process. The second phase of self-realization is vijnana. Vijnana refers to specific knowledge of the spirit soul's constitutional position and his relationship to the Supreme Soul. So the first is called general knowledge of the self. The second is called specific knowledge of the self. Or you can say general self-realization, general realization of the self, generic realization of the self, and specific realization of the self. So even though there are a person who has moved from Bhakti Mishra Nishkama Karma and moved into Bhakti Mishra Jnana, he is self-realized. But he has only attained the first phase of self-realization. He only has a general realization of the soul. That means he realizes that he is different from the body. He can perceive himself to be different from the body. But he cannot, at that stage, he is not able to perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what is his relationship with the Supreme Lord and so on. His Swarup, his spiritual body. That he is not able to perceive. That will be clear from the Acharya's commentaries on the first six chapters of the Gita. We will see that. But Prabhupada is talking about, when Prabhupada is talking about self-realization, is generally talking about the second phase of self-realization, which includes the first phase of self-realization. This is similar to Madhvacharya's explanation also. The highly developed soul always remains satisfied in himself by realizing himself as the eternal servitor of the Supreme Lord. Such a transcendently situated person has no sense desires resulting from petty materialism. Rather, he remains always happy in his natural position of eternally serving the Supreme Lord. So he's very happy about himself. He's not unhappy. Oh my God, I'm a servant of the Supreme Lord. He's very, very happy. He's very happy. Because he has sambandha realization. He's not just realized that he is different from the body. Atma anatma viveka. He has atma paramatma anatma viveka. He has clear discriminating perception of the difference between himself and the Supreme Lord and his body. His body is not spiritual at all. It is anatma. And he is atma. He is a jivatma. And he sees the paramatma. And he realizes that he is an eternal servant of paramatma. So this is, he realizes the swabhava of jivatma, paramatma, tat sambandha, as well as anatma. So he realizes all this. He remains always happy in his natural position of eternally serving the Supreme Lord. Okay, I'll stop with this. And we'll continue on Monday. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.